This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Readers Entertainment Radio, and this is Patricia W. Fisher. And can you believe it? It's almost the end of June. Where has the time gone? Just think, in 6 months, we'll be deep into the holiday season. I don't even want to think about it because I really like the fact that the sun is up 13 hours a day right now. But while you're out and about sitting by the pool and sitting outside and keeping your kids from setting things on fire this summer, I have a perfect book for you by one of my very dearest friends. Her name is Sasha Summers. She grew up surrounded by books. Her passions have always been storytelling, romance, and travel. She's used to writing more than – she has written more than 20 romance novels and novellas. Now a best-selling and award-winning author, Sasha continues to fall a little in love with each hero she writes. From Easy on the Eyes cowboys, sexy alpha male werewolves, to heroes of truly mythic proportions, she believes that everyone should have their happily ever after ending in fiction and real life. She lives in the suburbs of the Texas Hill Country with her amazing and supportive family, her beloved grumpy cat, Gerald the feline overlord. She posts about him frequently online, and we'll get to him in a minute. And she looks forward to hearing from fans and hopes you'll visit her online at her website, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. All those links are in the write-up of the show. Welcome, my friend, Sasha Summers.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Now,
and yes, to the
books.
Whole summer and air conditioning, and oh my gosh, there's a lot of need for air conditioning
yes.
right now. I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay.
Truly. You know, if you haven't visited Texas in the summertime, know that it gets really toasty here. So
yes.
we love the visitors. Just be aware of the weather.
Yes.
It does
yes.
get
lots of air conditioning and
toasty.
Water is required to fully enjoy it. Yes.
Yes. Yes. That is no fun to pass out, especially when it's ridiculously hot. So, but, you know, you've always been a huge reader. So do you
yes.
remember the books that you just couldn't be torn away from as a kid? Like, you know, as soon as you found
oh,
it in the
gosh.
Library, you were just, like, hooked.
Well, obviously, you know, I read A Wrinkle in Time, and then I kind of segued into my hidden stash or my grandmother's hidden stash of Barbara Cartland, because whenever we would visit, you know, I would get bored because back then you didn't have video games and stuff, you know, back at the dawn of time. So I had to find something to do, and reading was a good option. And these beautiful covers, you know, the old-fashioned Barbara Cartland, they look like paintings, right? So I was immediately like, ooh.
Right.
And, you know, they were lovely. And all of these kind of strong, grumpy men with these damsels in distress that needed, apparently, this earth-shattering kiss to make their lives complete. So I was
sure.
I got pretty hooked at a very young age and then segued into, hey, look, they don't always have to be the ones that are getting rescued. The women can rescue the men. Yay! And
yay.
And I like those, you know, a little bit more. So
sure.
now I try to make sure that when I'm reading or writing that I'm very aware of, you know, the whole balance in real life and romance, because it's important, I think. You know, romance is such a great idea, but it can be part of every day. So you want to ground it, like, in real stuff, obviously.
So do you remember the first book you read that maybe the heroine didn't need to be rescued?
I do. It was by Catherine Coulter. Oh, my gosh. I think it was called Night Song or Night Storm. I can't tell you. I can't tell you Fabio was on the cover. And
okay.
he gets injured. He was a captain on a ship. And, of course, she had snuck aboard dressed as a man. And he gets injured on a ship.
Which – women often
has
at
to
the time.
Take care.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course, in boys' clothing, of course. I mean, it's like totally normal. And she had to, you know, captain the ship for a bit and protect him. So I was like, you
oh, wow.
go, girl. It was also the first racy book I'd ever read. And so I just have many reasons to thank Catherine Coulter. We'll just leave that alone. So yeah, it was a really
okay.
cool book.
I interview so many people that say, oh, yeah, I found my aunt's secret stash of books, my grandma's secret stash of books. It's funny that, you know, I grew up with a grandmother that was very, she loved like literature and classics, and she read lots of biographies. Mm-hmm. So I would have been just totally surprised if I'd ever found anything like that in her house.
Yeah. Well, and hers truly were secret. She also had the larger Harlequin books. Now they're called HQN, mm-hmm. but back then they weren't. She had a subscription for those. You could actually do those as a subscription. So she had this beautiful wall of, like, you know, pretty leather-bound books. And then in the closet, these were all in there. So, there you go.
Well, I remember my grandmother talking about she would be sent down to the corner store every week or month. I'm not sure what it was. But her grandmother ran a boarding house in Cameron, uh-huh. Texas. Which is outside of Temple, which is north of Austin. So, you know, good luck finding that on the map if you don't know where to look. And she would get sent down there, and she said for True Romance Magazine. And is my understanding what the name of the magazine was called. And grandmother would sit every day in the you know, solarium. And when everybody, of course, you know, with the boarding house, you know, kitchen's closed, go do whatever.
Sure.
And she would sit there and read her romance magazines and do snuff. My grandmother was horrified. Horrified that she had to go get these magazines. Yeah. So.
Oh, she sounds like a character in a book. You know, you have to write about her. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. And it's really cool because it's, you know, these little towns, obviously, you know, like you've written about, that you have the collective, you know, families that have stayed there, and then the fun of pulling the thread through about who knows whom and who's familiar.
Yes.
It's a fun tree to build, I guess.
Definitely.
How did you kind of get started instead of doing, let's say, you know, a lot of people just like to do contemporary romance set in L.A., New York, Dallas, whatever. But what drew you to the small-town romance?
Well, I will be completely honest with you. It was my agent. We were having a conversation about some of the things I had written and hadn't really, quote-unquote, had my breakout book yet. And I'm very lucky to have a relationship with her. So we had just been talking, and I was sharing some stories from one of my previous employment opportunities at a veterinary hospital. And I had her laughing, and she's like, Sasha, this is what you need to be writing, what you're saying right here, these people, these stories. And the whole Boons of Texas series was based off of my experiences and those people. And, you know, again, we grew up in Texas. I have a huge Texan family, and my husband has a huge Texan family who also worked the land. So I had access to, you know, readily available, really great research and opportunities to do something I already knew and was comfortable with. And I think that translates on the page, you know?
Right. Right. Because I think sometimes people feel like they're supposed to write this, I don't know, I guess the kind of stuff they've just kind of fallen in love with reading. Like, you know, if you wanted to sit down and write a book about a girl who dresses up in guy's clothes and goes on a ship and whatever. But the characters we really know sometimes are the ones we should start with for sure.
Exactly. And I think there's also, you know, when we start, all of us, I think, I could be wrong, we all start with this idea, especially with that first book that's like just our heart, that it's going to be this big, profound and important, meaningful, life-changing book. And that's such a lot of pressure to put on yourself. Sometimes people just read to escape, you know, and that for me has become this really awesome realization that I am giving a woman or a man or a family, however you want to read it, kind of an escape for a little while, which I love. I love that I am, quote unquote, a vacation on the page. That's wonderful. I'll take it.
Right. You're right, because I think we do put a lot of pressure thinking, what if, this is, the wonderful book everyone's been waiting for. But you're right to enjoy those victories, those smaller victories of, you know, I was having a terrible time at home. My kid was sick. The dog had the flu, and I was stressing, and I picked up your book, and I was able to escape, you know?
Exactly. Yep, definitely. And I love it when I meet a reader, and and they come up and they talk to me about, you know, my characters by name, you know, and they've bonded with these people. And it makes my day. It truly does to know that they've made those people just as alive for themselves as they did when I was writing them, you know?
So you wrote 8 books for the Boone series.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And did you get approached as you were writing? Did readers write to you and say, what about this character? And was it a character you hadn't planned to write about?
Yes. Well, what happened is, you know, we actually were going to make it a 12-book series, and then, you know, the publisher did some changes and they ended up cutting the line short. So I was slated to write several other characters' books, but I knew that I had to write the sister. She deserved her own book. So I scrapped the other 3 books, which I did get a little bit mm-hmm. of negative feedback for. But, you know, I knew that Renata, because she'd been in all the books, and she was kind of a fan favorite because she was so full of energy and life, and you really just loved her, and she was consistent, you know, through the whole series. So I knew that she had to be the one that ended the story. So there were some, you know, Scarlet. I've had a lot of people write to me about Scarlet because she was mentioned in the Fire Gorge kind of detour that the family takes along the way. But, you know, maybe someday, hopefully, I'll be able to come back and address those 2 characters that were left out there without their sweetie sometime. Because, you know, they're still there. Eventually, we'll get around to them.
Yeah. Well, you finished the Boone series, and now you've started this new series with Last Stand Texas. So tell us
yes.
about this new series.
Sure. Well, it is very familiar in that sense, and that it is kind of another Texas Hill Country town. These are the Drager family, and it's the town Last Stand is actually based loosely on Fredericksburg or that area in the Hill Country. So there's a strong mm-hmm. German heritage. And the Drager family has been one of the families that's been there for quite some time. They've been a ranching family, but they know in order to survive, they have to do other things. So they have started breeding rodeo stock. So the boys mm-hmm. all, there's 4 brothers or 5 brothers and a sister. And they all have had dealings with rodeo from, you know, the sister barrel racing to various different pursuits. But the first book is about the eldest brother. Their father has just passed away, so he has been handed the mantle of the ranch. And he's just this really wonderful man who has had a lot of negative stuff happen to him. And now he's having to just soldier on with this weight. And he learns about some secrets that his dad's been keeping. And it kind of shakes his perspective on, you know, his whole life, basically. Gwen, who's the heroine, she's delightful. She's kind of my pinup girl. I visioned her as kind of this 1940s, so she's always got the big hair and the awesome dresses, and she's got bright red lipstick. She's really quirky and fun. She's a chef that's on the heavier side, and she has 2 3-year-old girls who pretty much steal the book. They're adorable, Jillie and Amy, and she just kind of wakes him up in a way that I think is pretty sincere and earnest, because both of them are pretty fractured souls, but they balance each other out in a really gentle and sincere way.
So falling, you know, obviously we all fall in love with our characters, even the evil
yes.
characters that we create.
Yes.
You know, is it easier? I mean, just the way you're describing these 2 characters, I'm already completely smitten. But, I mean, when you're writing them, is there that lightning bolt of awareness, like, oh, my gosh, I really love these people? Or is it something
yeah,
that
I
you
really
kind of have
important.
From the beginning?
No, I mean, I think – obviously, and you probably feel the same way, we have to like them, right, when we start the book. But
sure.
I think some characters are just stronger than others. But if I don't get that what you're talking about, that lightning bolt at some point through the book, then it's not working. I have to go back, and at one point, you know, they have to either take my breath away or make me cry, something. I need that deep emotional connection, or the book isn't there yet, you know, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, we want to...
Yeah.
What was it years ago? I was taking a workshop, and the idea is, if you're not crying or laughing or turned on or whatever as you're writing the scene, the readers won't be either. And so if you don't absolutely
totally.
Love your characters,
totally
if you don't love your characters as you're writing them, or they're like, yeah, okay, they're good, your readers are going to feel the same.
Yeah, Yep, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. You have to go deeper. What is it Donald Moss says? You know, throw rocks at them, keep throwing rocks at them, or hurt them, now hurt them again. I mean, yeah, you gotta peel back the layers a little bit, definitely.
Well, I laugh about, you know, when we all throw around brainstorming ideas, it's like, how badly do we want to torture these poor fictitious people? And it's funny because I've talked to Terry Wilson, is a mutual friend of ours, and so we're kind of like, mm-hmm. how, you know, we have levels of, you know, backstory.
Yes.
And of course, the extreme is always the Jackie Collins backstory, because she can really mess people up. Beautifully.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
It was beautiful to watch her, you know, create this chaos and what would happen with it.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah. So we've sat around talking about that level. Messed up are we gonna do?
And it's almost like you feel like you owe these fictional people an apology, right? I mean, it's like, I'm so sorry I'm doing this to you, but really, really, it's going to be okay.
I swear, at the end, it's all going to work out. I promise.
That's right. It'll be worth it, really.
Just keep creeping forward. I swear it'll happen. So you've got this first book, and then you've got what book is next, or what brother or sibling is next?
So I've just finished the second one, and it's with the brother Macon, who you meet in the first one, and he's adorable. And he's the kind of go-to guy in town. He's a volunteer fire marshal there in town, and he also does kind of, you name it, odd jobs around town. So a lot of the people, mm-hmm. the older folk in town, rely on him to be kind of their Mr. Fix-It man. And he's just a staple. You think of Last Stand, you think of him. And then the heroine, and her name, Charlotte. I was like, what's her name? Charlotte has come home to run her grandmother's flower shop while her grandmother takes this cruise that she's been planning for her whole life, basically. So Charlotte
right.
and Macon have a history. They were high school sweeties, but Charlotte has always really had a fear of settling down because her family was always on the move, always, always. And she's afraid to basically hurt Macon by doing something she's not capable of doing. Her whole life, she's been a travel writer. She's traveled all over the world. She's lived out of one bag. And the idea of staying put in one place, she's not sure she's wired that way. So it's the two of them kind of coming to an understanding of, you know, where they are at that point in their life and whether or not they want to try again between the two of them. So it's super sweet. It's the sweetest book I've ever read or written. Translation, it's like a couple of kisses. So for me, that's hard because I tend to be on the more sensual side of writing. But mm-hmm. for these two, it worked out that way. They were just really sweet, funny, adorable characters. And we didn't need to go there with them. It just didn't feel right. So you didn't want to force that, you know?
Right, right. And that's interesting because some people ask, well, where do you – how central do you side and all that? And I think, again, you go back to what's true to the characters.
Exactly.
And I think there's no real way to other way to describe it.
Right.
And so as you're writing, when you were writing the second book, had you kind of decided you were going to go on the lighter side, or is that just kind of what fell into place as you wrote?
I had gone into it knowing that I wanted it to be sweeter just because of his nature established in the first one. And then when I envisioned her kind of coming home, and again, this one had a lot of, it's a Christmas book. So there was a lot of big family scenes and lots of activity. And it just was like, you know, they're not, whereas in the first book, she's living in the house because she's kind of taken over the cooking duties for the whole family. This one, they're not under the same roof. So it would have taken a lot of effort to maneuver that. And it would have just been awkward. So I knew that it was going to be more on the chase side. Yeah.
Well, that's fun. We kind of, you know, mix things up a little bit.
Yeah.
And so
do you have,
I know in real life you have this cat, Gerald, and he's,
yes.
If you follow Sasha on social media, Gerald makes an appearance at least once a day, I'd say.
Yes. Yes. You have to. He is the feline overlord. He demands attention at all times. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he's the type, if I'm remembering what we've talked about correctly and what you've posted, he's the type that wants to sit near you but doesn't want you to touch him. Is this correct?
Yeah, that is very true.
Okay.
Yes, that
okay.
is very, very true.
So,
he is very independent.
But he doesn't want you
to
go anywhere.
That's a nice way of saying it. That's a very nice way of saying it, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any animals? Are you putting any animals like this in your Last Stand series? Or are you planning to put any animals like this, like quirky animals?
I do have animals. I do. I think every book I've ever written has animal mm-hmm. in it at some point, either
right.
a pet or a horse or something. But the two books so far in the Last Stand series, yes, they both have dogs that are relevant. And then there is a kitten in the second one, but I don't want to say too much because it's kind of a cute little thing there, but
okay.
you know, they're sweet. They're loving, cuddly animals, unlike my monster kitty here. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to
yes,
keep the fiction alive, right? The hope that someday I'll have a kitty that wants to cuddle me versus look at me like I'm a moron. So, but he loves me deep, deep, deep down. He loves me. I know he does.
So, you've got these books coming out, but your plate
uh-huh.
is full with writing projects right now. I mean, you're finishing other projects as well.
Yes. Yes, I have my first women's fiction coming out in September, and I'm super excited about it. It is a very emotional book. I wrote through a lot of tears, and my editor has sent me a couple of I hate you notes because you made me cry so hard. So, It's a little emotional, but, you know, it's good. It's a good, really heartfelt, layered family drama that I hope a lot of women of a certain age will relate to because she's the mom of two teenage, older teenagers. So she's probably, you know, I would say late 30s, early 40s, and she's learning how to do life all on her own, and she's just a very relatable woman, I think. I think it's the kind of person that we would all want to be friends with. And it's put through the ringer and comes out on the other side a much stronger woman. So I'm really excited, and I hope that readers will embrace that family. So we'll see how that goes.
And you've got more than one book in that particular series, correct?
Yes. That is a three-book series. So far, I don't have book two in the works. We're probably going to space those out a little bit. And then I have another series that will be coming out in March. And it's more along the Jackie Collins lines. It is a very dramatic series about a family who's basically country music royalty. And it deals with some heavy issues. The first book is a Me Too book, and I'm really proud of it. I feel like it's very strong. I hope that it gives a lot of women who are survivors some hope and some strength. That was my goal because it's something that I think is starting to get more attention, but we have a long way to go yet, and so we need to keep having conversations that are uncomfortable. And so this book has a little bit of stuff that's uncomfortable, but I'm hoping that it, again, will resonate with a lot of women out there who maybe don't have a voice yet to feel comfortable with certain uncomfortable situations.
Well, and I'm glad that, you know, I think the romance writing industry is really good about sometimes pushing the envelope, but it's that feeling of we want to put really solid information out there
yes.
and truthful information out there about
yes,
subjects
definitely.
Like this. And I
definitely.
Hope that it helps, like you're saying, help someone realize that, no, you're not by yourself and no, you're not alone and
yes.
and here are some
yeah.
resources and, you know.
And
that's
when they're releasing it in March, and that's Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. So I will definitely be
mm-hmm.
putting a lot of resources out there at that time, too, to really try and help boost, you know, awareness and balance it with some kind of relief because it's difficult, right? But if you find your people, you can make it through anything. You can make it through anything. You just have to stay determined, stay strong, stay positive. So yeah, I'm really excited about that book as well. So as you said, a lot on my plate, but I'm very proud of what I've been able to write recently, and I'm super excited to share it with readers.
Well, I mean, you're kind of hitting the emotional gamut here, like you're coming, you know, through all of these
yes.
these, you know, ups and downs, and, you know, sweet and, you know, a little bit heavier and really, you know,
yes.
chaotic. And I mean,
yeah.
how do you adjust your brain for each project? Do you write them completely separately, or how does it work?
It's almost physically impossible at this point because of the whole editing. So I might be writing and or editing or writing two at one time. It all depends on the deadlines. Now, I can't like have two documents open at one time. So I'll try and like focus on one part for one part of the day and then the other on the other part. I will try. I will be the first to admit that my plans don't always work out that way. And I'll get sucked down the rabbit hole by one project. But when you have deadlines, you know, you have to fight to meet them. So
yeah.
It's helped me balance as much as possible. And so far, knock on wood, I don't think I've shot myself in the foot with my delivery schedule. So that's good. That's the goal, right? You want to keep the publishers happy and keep the books for the readers available. So, yeah.
Right. And then you will be in New York next month for the Romance Writers of America conference.
Definitely.
You'll
I'm
also
super
be
excited about that.
Signing. Yes, and you'll also
yes.
be signing at the literary
yes.
events, and that's on that Saturday.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I always love seeing, the lines, the readers that come in. They're awesome because, you know, I'm a reader too. So we can all gush about fangirling over Nora Roberts and, you know, the big people, right? Sandra Brown. Oh, my gosh, they're in the same room. It's so cool. So I love it.
Well, I find it's fun. You know, a lot of people say, why would you bother going to conferences and stuff? And I think it's one of the, it's not just those big events. It's those small moments where you're standing next to the elevator and, oh, my gosh, look who's standing there with you. And it could be, you know, Brenda Jackson. It could be Kristen Higgins. It could be, you know, all these different writers. And I have yet to
yes.
meet anyone who isn't at least willing to say hello and appreciates hearing, I love your books, you know?
I would agree. Yeah, I would totally agree.
Yeah.
It's a very nurturing and supportive community overall. It really is.
It's a lot of fun. So you've got your book coming out, the last damn book's out, your next book's in September, you've got a book coming out in March, and then
yeah.
are you just kind of doing the schedule over and over again for the next couple of years?
Pretty much, because I have my next Left Stand book, sorry, Macon's book comes out in October, so I've got a September and an October and then a March. And then I actually start a brand new series next year, so for a different publisher. So I don't know how I'm going to do all this. I will. I know I will do it. But yeah, this is when you get back to that point where you really have to like your characters, because you're going to have to, you know, buckle down and make sure their stories are everything that they need to be. It can't just be a flat book. You know, readers need and deserve to see that you've put effort and time into developing and giving them real people. So it'll be a good next 2 years. I am booked pretty solid, and I am not complaining, not at all. It's wonderful. I am
yeah.
a blessed writer. But it will definitely be solid work, definitely, for the next good 18 months.
So we have just less than 2 minutes left. So tell me the best writing advice you ever got from someone in writing?
I would say never give up. If you feel strongly about writing, if you have it in your blood, if the voices are always there, if the stories keep coming, then you need to find a way to make it work for you. I think the best way to do that is to find a writing group. I don't know what I would do without
mm-hmm.
my local San Antonio Romance Authors chapter. But you need to find people that understand the voices in your head so that they can support
yeah.
you when you're ready to give up. So you just got to find your people and stick with it.
Well, thank you so much for coming today. We have been Readers
thank
Entertainment
you for
Radio.
Having
I'm
me.
Patricia. You're welcome. I'm Patricia W. Fisher talking to Sasha Summers. Her newest book is out now. You can find her on her website, Facebook, Twitter, or Pinterest. And I didn't say this at the beginning, but yesterday was Harry Potter Day, and the reason it's Harry Potter Day is on June 26, 1997, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone was released in the United States. So that's why we're celebrating.
Wow.
You celebrated Harry Potter Day yesterday. I know. 1996. Can you believe it? It's been 23
that's,
years.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's on Next Generations for sure. So it's cool to
definitely.
Have a book that people want to read over and over again. So,
yep.
just like yours.
Yep.
So, Thank you. Thank you for being on the show again, Sasha. And please come back and talk to us when your books are next books are coming out.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.